You're listening to Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in the studio by Chad Lampe and Jeff Steen.
Jeff, you're responsible for emergency management operations here at Murray State, and you and Bill Call work in concert for the county?
Yes, we do. I had worked as the emergency manager for the county for about 10 years, and then about 5 years ago or so, maybe a little bit more like 6 years ago, I was moved to do it full-time for the university, and I still do the Office of Environmental Safety and Health. And then Bill took over being the director, so I'm one of the two deputy directors for the county. I still fill in when Bill's out of pocket.
And there's a joint operation, it seems, that's occurring. Well, actually, statewide, it's a capstone project. And is this primarily focused on responding to a major earthquake?
It is. Oftentimes, we look at all hazards, but this particular year, we're gonna focus on earthquake because if you're prepared for an earthquake, you're prepared for just about everything. Mm-hmm. And we live in a part of the country where they think that perhaps we could experience one within our lifetime.
Well, give me the rundown. What's happening and where tomorrow in Murray?
Well, tomorrow we'll have an earthquake drill in the afternoon, and we'll have it in the late afternoon because many of our emergency responders are volunteers. Mm-hmm. They're unpaid. We don't want to miss time off work. And the earthquake drill will be primarily around the city of Murray because we don't want to get our emergency services spread out all over the county if we had something happen because they're still on call. So what we'll do tomorrow is we'll have a couple different areas where we'll have simulated an earthquake. There will be role players, and we'll also have some people who are moulaged up to look as if they're injured. And we'll turn them loose and see what happens.
What if you're a member of the general public cruising through Murray tomorrow, folks should not be alarmed if they see something that looks like a major disaster had occurred?
Well, this year, we've had our major disasters outside. We've had them scattered all through the county in times past. It'll be pretty focused this year on just mm-hmm. a couple of buildings on campus. And the emergency vehicles will not be responding lights and siren for the protection of the public. Once they get to the scene, they might turn their lights on to protect the emergency responders and those participating in a drill. But by our standards in the past, this would be a medium-sized drill, not one of our huge ones. Cast of hundreds rather than cast of thousands.
in the rundown of the program, the training exercise, you mentioned large, heavy objects will need to be raised to gain access to patients. What are you talking about?
Well, we want to check and test the abilities of our emergency responders to move things off of people. Well, we couldn't get any volunteers to have the large heavy objects put on them, so the large heavy objects will be set close to them, and they'll have to use their emergency response equipment to move those objects so that they can gain access to the patient. But the patient will be laid out in a safe area right next to them.
What agencies will be taking part in this? Imagine you mentioned a lot of volunteers, so I guess that would be the volunteer, maybe firefighters as well as.
We have a pretty robust Callaway County Fire Rescue is a very robust fire service as far as volunteers go, with over 100, and they'll probably have the most individuals there. Murray Fire Department, Fire Rescue, they'll also have individuals helping. The ambulance service is going to participate. Murray State will be participating. The Red Cross is going to have a few there. And other agencies, if they would like to participate. This is focused more this year, more so on fire, rescue, emergency medical services, relief agencies, and less on law enforcement.
So when you plan for this, do you plan for a certain magnitude earthquake?
We look at something typically over a 5.5, more in the neighborhood of about a 6.4. So we would have significant building damage, but it wouldn't be that catastrophic one that geologists says, we're due for it every mm-hmm. 200 years. And then some say, well, we've been looking at the sand blows, and a geologist said maybe it's every 1,200 years. And then you get right down to it, and it's like, be ready. But, yeah. If this generation, maybe not, but the next generation.
What does that mean to be ready for a major earthquake?
Well, to be ready, we're ready on many levels. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes people are quick to look at their rights, but less likely to resolve in their minds their responsibilities. And on a personal level, a person should have some emergency plan on where the family is going to meet after the earthquake. I know our family does. Do we have some water and some food and some light and some means of gathering communication? We have that as a family, and we've talked about it. My wife's taken first aid training in case I'm working during the ice storm. She didn't see a lot of me. Uh-huh. She's pretty self-sufficient. She has a lot of camping gear. So a person needs to be prepared, and if we can get information on where we need to prepare on the FEMA website, the Red Cross website, Homeland Security websites, they have good information on how to put a kit together.
Now, you mentioned the communications aspect of it. In a 5.5 earthquake or maybe above a 6 magnitude, what does that do? What's the potential that it could do to our communications infrastructure?
We could lose our phone service, and we could lose our landlines as well as our cell phone service. That being the case, it's good to have a plan on where we're going to meet, that sort of thing. Communications among emergency responders can also be hindered. As we use towers throughout the region to put our antennas on, those towers might survive, and then they might not. Mm-hmm. A lot of those emergency services, though, we have some on the top of this building, just a few feet away from us, there's quite a few emergency services. They'll have backup car batteries oftentimes, so they'll have some time they can run. And we have an emergency generator in this building, which is being replaced, and it needs to be. The new one sitting on the loading dock, we'll be proud to get that hooked up. And those emergency generators typically can run for about 4 days before they need to be fueled. We're hoping that the rest of the world would come to help us in 4 days. I'd like to mention something, though. Mm-hmm. They often say be prepared and have a gallon of water for each person in your household per day for 3 to 4 days. The magnitude of the earthquake, we ought to really have a 7-day supply. So a person really ought to be thinking about being self-sufficient for 7 days. And this is with water and food and their medicine that they might need. Really, a 7-day plan is much better than a 3-day plan.
How often should someone revisit their plan or revisit the foodstuffs and the water that they have stored? Because I think we actually have a box from 1992 here at the radio station, I think, whenever the big scare was back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. The campus got pretty busy, and the whole region started to get busy for that. We had Dr. Browning make that prediction that we were going to have that earthquake. I think it was in December, and we all got ready for it, and we all got dressed up, and no party.
Yeah.
Which didn't hurt my feelings either, by the way. Water can typically stay for about a year, and then you can rotate it through. You can buy water by the gallon at any of the discount stores, and it's less than a dollar a gallon typically. We were doing that, and then we'd crack it open every year. Now my wife and daughter have got into the bottled water, so we always have a couple boxes of bottled water sitting there that we work our way through, and we sort of rotate it. So water has a pretty good shelf life, and you've got to be thinking about water too. We have some water out back that we wouldn't drink unless we boiled it, but it's for bathing in or perhaps flushing a toilet, that kind of thing, if the plumbing's still there.
Yeah. As far as infrastructure goes in the immediate Callaway County, what buildings would you be most concerned about in a 6.0 earthquake?
It's real hard to tell with the buildings. And some of the reasons that we have with the buildings is not just the strength of the building. It's the foundation of the building. And it's also the frequency at which the earthquake hits us. It hits it at different frequencies. For instance, about 30 years ago, Mexico City had a heck of one hit them. And some of their buildings, which were 6 and 8 floors high, survived, where some of the 4-stories one collapsed. Well, why was that? It was because the frequency got the buildings oscillating, and they worked against themselves if they were about four stories high, and those buildings went down. So it's hard, but we do know this. The newer generation buildings that we're building are, because of a code that was came out years ago, we're talking about back in the 70s, they tend to hold up to seismic activity better than perhaps those that were built in the 1940s or 50s or even in the 60s, just because of an awareness that we were in a seismic zone. But it's hard to say. You know, if you're in a building that's made out of block and it's already cracking before the earthquake, mm-hmm. it's probably not the best place to be.
Mm-hmm. And any other last tips for folks that maybe their home isn't quite prepared, not necessarily having their plan, but things they could do within their home to maybe minimize falling objects or things that could hurt them trying to get out?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. There's two things I've gone over with my family, and I went over it with one thing with my wife just today. She called me a few minutes ago, and the water heater was leaking. Well, Cindy, we can go out to the road and shut that water off. Well, I showed her how to do that. I think back just before the Browning thing, which was 20 years ago, and she goes, no, it's not going to work. You're going to have to come show me. I showed her how to turn the gas off a couple years ago. She said, I can turn the gas off. The water's a lot like the gas. Well, I showed her how to shut the water off. But knowing how to shut the water off, knowing how to shut the electricity off, knowing how to shut the gas off or the propane would all be key things, because those utilities could be disrupted during seismic activity and cause a great hazard. So awareness of how to turn those things off would be something that would be very important. As far as the house itself, many of the houses that we see, and Dr. Siebold, Bert Siebold had done a lot of research in this and published some good information on it. Some of the house foundations, I'm already in a house, it's too late for that, but if you're building a house, you put some rebar in the foundation, and there's certain ways that the house is bolted to that foundation, and it moves as a unit rather than moves apart. That's something somebody could look at. And in our home, if you've got something really heavy that could fall over on you, you might want to bolt it to the wall or Velcro it down, this sort of thing, to protect the person if it slides off during seismic activity.
And we're speaking with Jeff Steen, who is the emergency manager for Murray State University and also works with Callaway County. They're running a significant disaster drill tomorrow, and they'll be in various locations around the city of Murray. But it's also always a great time to check your plan for yourself in the event of an earthquake. And Jeff, thanks so much for taking your time to speak with us today.
I really enjoyed being here. Thank you very much.